has an amazing plan for us to live a confident life, and part of that plan is about the people he puts around us. But how can we live so that we build one another up? I'm Bernie Diamond, and it's just great that you can join me again this week on Christianity Works. As we spend time together in God's Word today, I passionately believe that God is going to change us from the inside out in ways that we could never have imagined. And that's what Christianity Works is all about, opening up God's Word and taking a fresh look to see what He's doing in our lives, because He's always up to something good. So as we share this time together, my prayer is that you'll be forever changed by God's love, God's grace, and God's power in Jesus Christ. Well, this is the last of the four messages in a series that I've called A Confident Life in Uncertain Times. Life is full of uncertainties. On the one hand, we can say, well, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe in what He did for me. I believe I have eternal life and in God's glory. But there are things in our lives, little things like termites, that eat away at the foundation of faith. Here and now, not talking about what's happening in the future, I'm talking about living life today, right where you are, right where I am, with all the stuff going on around us that we have going on around us. Without firm foundations of faith, life is pretty miserable. I was talking to a man recently who had just been retrenched. Now, he was devastated. That's a natural response. I mean, this man's in his early 60s and he's not ready to retire. But the question for him is, in a society that's geared towards young people and youth, how's he going to find another job? And he said to me, all my life I've put my trust in the Lord. But now life had hit rock bottom for him. He was passionate about what he did. I'll never forget the look in his eyes, because the eyes are a window to our heart, and you could really see the grief and the pain in his eyes. Now, whether it's a major thing like that or just a whole bunch of small foxes in life that spoil the vine, those things can undermine our sense of security, our sense of confidence in what God's doing. To put it bluntly, those things can undermine and attack our faith, like little termites eating away at our faith foundations. Maybe husband and wife aren't as close as they'd like to be. Maybe things are a bit hard with the kids at the moment. Maybe there are financial worries. Maybe there are work pressures, and all of those things add up and they nibble away. And before we know it, what were once firm faith foundations are like a fragile honeycomb ready to collapse. Here's the good news. Here's the great news. God wants us to have a confident life, to have faith in Him through all of those things. And you know what? That sort of life is a life worth living, a life where we can weather those storms. That's why over the last 3 weeks, and again this week, we've been looking at 1 Peter. This is one of the last books in the New Testament. And the background to this letter, 1 Peter, is that Peter the Apostle is writing to a whole bunch of Christians who are exiles, who have been dispersed out of Jerusalem and out of Judea through persecution against Christians. And these people are really being persecuted. I mean, these people are being tarred and torched at garden parties by Caesar. These people are being tortured and beaten and burned for their faith. And so that's who he's writing to, and he writes about a life of purpose, a living hope that we have in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He writes about living a holy life, and the whole point of Peter's letter is to breathe certainty and confidence into the lives of the listeners and the readers of that letter, despite everything that's going on in their lives. And that's the point. Now, we can sometimes think, well, if I'm going to put my faith in Jesus, if I'm going to put my faith in God, nothing should go wrong. Everything should be perfect in life. But life's not like that. So today, we're looking at this last message in the series, and I've called today's message, Living a Rock-Solid Life, an Unshakable Life. Just like Peter wanted for the people who he was writing to, these people who were going through all these trials and struggles. We looked at the first chapter in the last 3 weeks, and today we're going to look at the second chapter of 1 Peter and how to live a rock-solid life. It's about being a part of God's team. So if you have a Bible, go and grab it. Open it up right towards the end of the New Testament and go to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 1 to 10. This is what he writes: "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who don't believe, the stone that the builder rejects has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined to do. But you are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wondrous light. Once you weren't a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." It's interesting, these days, so often we see faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ, as being an individual thing, my relationship with God, my faith walk, my life. And of course it is. But as you read through the New Testament, faith is always set in the context of community. It's startling to read Romans and Corinthians and Ephesians, all those letters, from that perspective. There's a very clear and strong community dimension. These Christians were undergoing persecution and trial, and Peter is writing to them about the certainty that they get from being a community in Christ, a people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "Is any pleasure on earth as great as a circle of Christian friends by a fire?" We're going to explore that today and look at how we can live a rock-solid life. I'm Bernie Diamond, and we'll continue with today's message in just a moment. Christianity Works has published its latest life application booklet, A Confident Life in Uncertain Times. It's a booklet that builds on the teaching in this series, and each chapter has some life application questions to help you apply God's Word right into the realities of your life. But this is the very last week that it'll be available as my free gift to you, so please don't miss out. You can request yours right now online at christianityworks.com. You'll see that free offer right there on the homepage. Just click on it, follow the prompts, and the e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. And when you do stop by at christianityworks.com, please don't forget the treasure trove of free resources and downloads that are there for you. Like Christianity Works TV, you can watch these weekly messages online if you like. Oh, and the free daily Christianity Works e-devotional, words of inspiration, hope and encouragement delivered right to your inbox to help you live each and every day in the victory that Jesus came to give you. And that's just the beginning. ChristianityWorks.com is packed full of resources, all of them free, to help you have a rich, dynamic relationship with Jesus. So check it out. All right, time to get back into God's Word to discover what role Jesus has to play in this whole confidence thing, because as things turn out, it's a key role, but not in the way that you may think. It's interesting that as the Apostle Peter starts this bit in his letter, this letter that's about breathing confidence into the lives of Christians who are being persecuted for their faith, he begins with an admonishment. See, this section that we just read before the break, this section is about living confidently in a community. But he begins, before he talks about community, he begins with this admonition: "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you might grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." So get rid of all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Those things tear communities apart. Stones in a wall, which is the picture that we'll look at in this passage in a moment, it's a picture of community, of these stones being built together into this strong, solid wall. Could you imagine how solid a wall is going to be if all these stones are arguing and fighting? before I became a Christian, my favourite saying used to be, it's so hard to soar like an eagle when you're surrounded by turkeys. Now, that sort of attitude is not about community. Selfishness and getting your own way and wanting to do it our way, we're not going to be a community. That's why Peter begins and says, get rid of all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy and envy and slander of every kind. Because if we're going to live together in a community, in a faith community, we need humility and kindness and gentleness and forgiveness. Maybe God's convicting you right now about the people that you're in a faith community with, the people that I'm in a faith community with. You see, there's no perfect church. We can look at the people that we know, and maybe you've been going to a church for years and you've known these people for years and you think, my goodness, you know, I know everybody's weaknesses and it's never going to change, and grumble, 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 grumble. Let the Holy Spirit convict you right now if you're in that space. Get rid of all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind, because those things tear communities apart. Instead, like newborn babes, crave spiritual milk, the Word of God. Drink it in. You know, there's nothing better for a young baby than mother's milk. Man-made formula doesn't have the same goodness or nourishment or antibodies. Mother's milk was made for the babe. And it's the same with God's Word. There's no substitute. The world's wisdom, me, numero uno, get what you're entitled to. No wonder there's so much uncertainty in life. We've forgotten how to live with one another, how to live in community. God's Word is about sacrifice, going without those things. You know, unless we do that, there's going to be no community. And with no community comes no confidence. And then, talking to these people undergoing so much pain and uncertainty and fear because of their faith, listen to what he writes. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen and precious by God, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus. Because Scripture says, see, I laid a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who don't believe, the stone the builder rejected became the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, because they stumble because they disobeyed the message which they were destined to do. In other words, he begins this discussion of community with the living stone rejected by men. In other words, Jesus. Jesus was rejected by men. He was reviled and he was beaten and he was spat upon. He was crucified. But he was chosen by God and precious to God, God's only son. And he says, just like Jesus was the first one, the cornerstone, the capstone, you, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. For what purpose? To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. The reason God builds us into this house is not for us. Even though we get benefits, it's for God. The picture of this house being built, these stones being laid, is firstly, a stone had to be cut to size. Now, this wasn't one of these manufactured square bricks perfectly shaped. No, this is a stone in rough. And for a stone to become part of a building, first it has to be cut to size by the builder. In other words, God is going to cut us to size, humble us, sacrifice. That's what being cut to size means, and it's no fun being cut to size. But that's what God does with us. He cuts us to be the right shape, to be amongst his people as a stone in this wall. And secondly, a stone gets laid in place where the builder wants it, where God wants it. Oh, I want to be a preacher. I want to be this. I want to be that. I want to do this. I want people to notice me. But we have certain gifts and abilities. God knows them better than us because he gave them to us. And when he lays us just in the right place, it's brilliant. The Apostle Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 11, puts it this way. He's talking about the giftings that God gives us, and he writes this. All these gifts are activated by one and the same Spirit who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. In other words, our gifts and abilities are gifts for the body of believers, but God chose what he gave us, and God chooses where he puts us. And when we're operating in God's gifting and his anointing, that's an awesome thing. It confirms who we are. We delight in what we're doing. It builds our confidence in him. And the third thing, firstly, we're cut to size. Secondly, we're laid in place. And thirdly, a stone in this building, this spiritual temple, bears the burdens of the other stones. It's a mutual thing. You think about the stones being laid down in the wall. The stones below me are carrying my weight, and I'm carrying the weight of the stones above me. In other words, we share with one another. If one suffers, all suffer. If one's honoured, we all rejoice. When we're surrounded by God, by people who are on fire for God, that lifts us up, that builds us up, that holds us up. Now, I'm someone who always spends time in the Word of God because that's what I do. It's a powerful thing. It feeds me. It's such an honour and a privilege to be able to put these programs together. But I have a small group of people in my church, one man in particular called James. They are my support and encouragement and strength. I need those people because without those people, life gets tough. I'm out there on my own. That's the way it's meant to be. And all these stones being built by God into this temple, Jesus is the cornerstone. In other words, he's the one that got laid first, the one that we're all lined up against so that we're in the row, we're straight. Doing things his way, not all over the place, doing things our own way, but lined up, beginning with the cornerstone. And then Peter writes here, and he became the capstone. And the picture there is when one of those stone arches was built with all those little stones in an arch, the top stone was the capstone, and it bears all the weight and holds everything together. In other words, Jesus is at the top, and yet he serves us by holding us together. Jesus is the first stone that was laid, and we're lined up against him. We're not just a bunch of people. We're a spiritual house with Christ at the head and the Holy Spirit and our obedience binding us together. Beautiful picture that we are being built by God into his house, a spiritual house. But for what purpose? We'll look at that in just a moment. I'm Bernie Diamond, and we'll get back to today's Christianity Works message in just a moment. But as we pause, I just want to remind you that today's program is just one message in a series of four that I've called A Confident Life in Uncertain Times. And you can watch this series online right now at ChristianityWorks.com. That's right, Christianity Works TV is up and running, and as well as the audio, the transcript, the podcast, you can watch this week's message right now online. It's all part of our passion to help you live a life of peace and joy and power in your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why I'd also love to send you a free copy of that booklet I've been telling you about, A Confident Life in Uncertain Times. Just stop by at Christianity Works and you'll see that free offer right there on the homepage. Pop in your details, follow the prompts, and that free e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in literally seconds. But please remember, this is the very last week that this particular booklet will be available as a free gift, so don't miss out. That web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. Okay, in the few minutes that we have left together today, I want to take a look at how to live in the amazing confidence that God has already purchased for you. We're looking at living a confident life in uncertain times. You know what brings confidence? Knowing God's plan and living it. I encourage you to listen to this whole series. If you missed any part of it, you can listen to it again at our website, ChristianityWorks.com, or get it on CD, and I'll explain that later. God wants a mature people. God wants a people who can shine his light into a hurting world, a people who can enjoy what he's called them to be. Confident people, not cocky, not arrogant. People who have a quiet confidence in who he is, who they are in him, what God's called them to do. People who shine his love and his joy into this world. And that's exactly how Peter finishes off this passage that we've been looking at today in the letter of 1 Peter chapter 2 to these exiles who were under extreme persecution. Let's have a read to see how he finishes it off in chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. He says, You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you weren't a people, but now you're the people of God. Once you hadn't received mercy, but now you have received mercy. See, Peter's saying here, you know how God wants to cut you to size and lay you as one of those stones in this wall that's lined up against Christ, its wall that will be a spiritual temple, a spiritual house of God. You're a chosen people. See, this is God's plan before time began. You're a people, you're a body, you're God's family, as well as just an individual. And not only are you a chosen people, you're a royal priesthood. You belong to the King. But why does he call us a priesthood? Well, a priest in the Old Testament, the role of the priest was to serve God in the temple and to be a go-between between God and the people. But here in the New Testament, we've been told there are no special priests anymore. We are all priests. We are part of a royal priesthood. And our job is to serve Christ and to take him out into the world. That's why God calls us a royal priesthood. We're the ones that can go into the Holy of Holies. We can stand in the throne room before God. We can see his glory. We can experience his goodness. But he wants us to take that out as a priesthood into the world. Glory to God. Once you were not a people, once you were a rabble, once you were a bunch of selfish individuals wandering aimlessly around in futility. But now you are a people. And not just a people, but God's people. Look at the next verse. Now you are the people of God. God has an amazing plan. As we humble ourselves and lay our lives down, he builds us into a royal priesthood, a holy nation, so that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into this wonderful light. See, when we declare God's praises, when we walk out into the world with that joy in our hearts and on our faces, people look at us and say, there's something different about them. I want what they've got. When we declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness, we are being the royal priesthood. We are carrying Christ into the world. God has this plan that as he builds us into a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that we're part of his family and his plan for his glory. And living in love, reaching out to the people who don't know him yet, and in love, bearing our brothers and sisters in gentleness and with humility and encouragement and support as we are a stone in this spiritual house, a living stone, not a dead stone, not some piece of rock, a living stone in the spiritual temple that God is building us up together to be. And you know, we have to let other people do the same for us. If we want to live a certain life in uncertain times, this is a powerful letter from Peter, this first letter of Peter. He tells us, you and I, if we believe in Christ, have been chosen with a purpose. We have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. God is protecting and guarding in heaven an imperishable inheritance, unspoiling, unfaded, undefiled for us. And as we live holy lives, as we put away all slander and malice and envy and pride, all that stuff that would tear us apart, God builds us up. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. As we allow ourselves by God to be built into this spiritual house together, we're living out Christ. That's what it means to be a living stone. And we discover this stuff works. We see how he cuts us and polishes us into shape, and he puts us just in the right place next to other people. And then life's no longer about winning. It's about living and walking in love. It's certain, it's true, it works. Day by day, when we live like that, the Spirit of God ministers his peace and his confidence into our souls, deep into our spirits. Remember, Peter was writing this to people who were suffering such terrible things. The world says, buy this, spend that, eat this, go there, drink that, you'll be happy. But you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. God has a plan to use you and me for his glory. And as we live that plan out in fear and trembling, we discover in our own experience that he's for real. Day by day, week by week, month after month, he builds us into a spiritual house. He builds in us a confidence that is unshakable, no matter what the world would throw at us. It's a lifelong journey. But that's his plan. It's a wonderful plan. It's a beautiful plan. It's a delightful plan. It's a plan for a confident life in uncertain times. just want to encourage you to spend some time in 1 Peter, these first few chapters that we've been looking at in this series, a letter written to Christians in exile undergoing terrible persecution. Because when we let the Holy Spirit minister God's word into our hearts, He does something that we ourselves cannot do. He breathes His peace and His truth into our lives, into the very fiber of our beings. And He changes us. Often it doesn't happen overnight, but God is in this for the long haul, and He will finish the good work that He's already begun in you. See, my passion is to see God's word minister to you, to change you, to transform you, to help you grow in a way that you would never even have hoped for or imagined. God wants to glorify Himself through you, and to do that, first, He has to fill you with His glory. And that is an awesome thing. So please remember, this is the very last week that you can request your free copy of that life application booklet I've been telling you about, A Confident Life in Uncertain Times. So please head right over to ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see the free offer right there on the homepage. The web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time next week right here on Christianity Works with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.